instead of going from the Rishonim all the way down to the end of the Pachol, throughout the other direction. Tshuva from Rav Moshe. The tshuva is a written record that he gave for some reason of a case that he heard that came to him and that he paskened. He doesn't give any explanation in his little record, so it's left for us to be able to fill in the blank that he assumed that we'd be able to do. So he writes like this in a tshuva. Hina b'dvar ha'tainas v'tfiyah shohoyev in Ruvain and Shimain v'imo Leia, two different parties, obviously. B'inya yaruz l'mus chaveray, where there was a challenge about whether it was proper competition. Sh'ruvain ha'ilo chanush shel svarim v'tashmishik dusha. He had a Hebrew bookstore in whatever town this is. It wasn't Baltimore. Mishnas Tavshir Yizayin. This was written in Tavshir Chaf Dal, I think it was. For the last 7 or 8 years, he already had in this town, he had a Hebrew bookstore. V'yata Sarcha Shimon Chanus Lamachlai. Now another person, a local resident, rented a storefront probably nearby the Hebrew bookstore. Rosagam Gluta Chanus Shal Svarim Tashmish Dusha. And he wants to duplicate the same. So Ramesha Paskin, and this is what he writes down in his record. Bakashir Bishkunasam in their neighborhood, Ain Be'ev Sheir's Lahaslik Shnei Chanuyais, Shel Svarim Tashmish Kedusha. The neighborhood isn't big enough to support, to justify having two such stores. The extra papers? Okay, good. Ka V'chein Is Barley Ayde Rashim Bisham. This was established by local lay people that knew the situation. It was a small town, and one Hebrew bookstore could be, I guess, barely exist. But two, there wouldn't be able to work. So once that's been established, which obviously is not a debatable issue, that's a matter of fact on the particular case. L'chein yotze me'iti, therefore I give out a psak. That this is a case in which it's prohibited for the second person to go into the same business as the first. He can open up a pizza shop, he can open a restaurant, he can open up whatever other kind of store he wants, but he can't have a Hebrew bookstore next to the other same neighborhood as the first is a Hebrew bookstore. That was the psak that he gave, even though we generally paskin that two people of the same town are allowed to both go into the same type of business. You could have Rechaim, I could have Rechaim, or any other such two businesses. But in a case in which the assessment is that there isn't enough business over here to support two, then the first one that's there has the right to exist, and the second one doesn't have the right to go and jeopardize that standing that's already been established. That's the psak as far as our main sugya. And that, Be'ez Hashem, will be able to show very clearly the sources on. I have to tell you that for the next part of the tshuva, I'm a little bit baffled and not fully able to explain why he made the following psak. We'll read it right now as an entirety. I'll make that point, put it out on the table, and then we'll come back to deal with the first part. He's already rented it for a month or two, and that lease amount was an investment in order to be able to have his new Hebrew bookstore. And now that I'm asking that you're out of business, he's not right now gearing himself up to have a pizza shop or something else. So it's a loss of an investment. Ruvain now is responsible to reimburse Shimon for that loss, for the last month or two, whatever that it was until this point. Not only that, and he now has to take on the lease for the remainder of the lease period, let's say a year, and to pay the monthly rental amount. Ruvain now has to assume like a sublease of that lease and take on responsibility for it, and to pay the remaining months to the landlord, Unless, of course, he could work out some kind of a sublease arrangement and get it rented out to someone else. But if the landlord is going to hold him to it and he doesn't have another replaced lessor, then the Reuven is going to have to assume it and absorb that cost. And Avada, just like Shimon can't go into this business, he can't have anyone else, a relative or someone else, do it as well, because they'll be just as much as Lasser and Shimon. Now that's a very big chiddush. I don't know of any source too, to say that Reuven now becomes responsible for a lease that Shimon took on.
Was there a delay in bringing in
tenants? He doesn't give us any such information. He's saying that for the months that already passed, which for his startup preparation, 2-3 months, whatever, it doesn't tell us exactly how much, you would have to reimburse him. And for the remaining months of the, let's say, a 12-month lease, the next 9 months, you would have to assume that and pay it. You could use it as a warehouse. You could use it for some other kind of whatever advantage you could make out of it, but you become responsible for it. It sounds like he's saying that on some level of Bi'ikra Din, I can do what I want, and you can do what you want, and I can really have another store. But even so, the Chachamim gave the right to the Rishon to close down the Sheni. The Lashon HaGemara is an interesting Lashon, which is brought down through the Paiskim. Let's say Rav Huna's original Lashon, that Hai Bar Mavua Duki Rechaya, that if the first one already established a Rechayim, and then Dina Hu, and then a Sheni now wants to also make a Rechayim, Dina Hu de Ma'akev Alei. The din is that the first one can be Ma'akev of the second one. It's not saying that per se the second one is doing something wrong, that he's a Mazik, he's a Gazlan, he's a whatever. It's not saying per se that it's an Isser. It's saying that Reuven has the prerogative, has the right to say, I want to exercise my right of first rights over here, and I'm asking you to please close down. And you have to listen to me. And then you used to tell me that if I did an Isser, then I have to absorb the cost of the Isser. But I didn't do anything Isser. You want to now assert your first rights over me and tell me I have to close me down? Okay, I'll have to concede, but you're going to have to absorb the cost of what you're now going to be imposing upon me. That's what it sounds like when he's understanding the sugya. Was if I did something wrong, then I would have to, to bear the cost. But over here, the fact that he's making Reuven bear the cost means that Shimon's not per se doing something wrong. Reuven has just the right, dinu hu de ma'ake valei, I have the right to assert some kind of first rights at the chacham or masakein. We've already discussed that as a kind of drabat on the for the protection of the Bali Umniyais. So you're right, you have a right to be protected, but then you have to reimburse me for whatever losses I'm going to have to take in order to be able to allow you to be able to keep what you want to assert. It's a very big chiddush, which I don't know of any source to. I mean, obviously, my knowledge is very limited. I know with this little narrow sugya of what I've been learning recently, I haven't seen anything like that. Moshe has a much broader picture of the Torah in front of him, and for him it's Olive Bay's Pashat. But you know, I'm noting a chiddush, and if anyone comes along a source of this, I'd be very interested in finding it.
What allows us to assume that Rav Moshe is paskin in din and not pshara over here? Maybe it was just pshara.
He says also.
You want him to close down. Okay, so we'll close him down, but this establishes now a chiyuv for you to make him whole for his rental.
That's the question. Why? Because I do that which the Torah, which it's also a shimon to be poseach. I have a right to say it's the Shady's not allowed to do it, but then I have to make him whole. Why do I have to make him whole? If he did something wrong, let him bear the cost himself. It's too his problem. He should never have done it to start with. Someone should have advised him in the beginning that you're doing something wrong. That's what I'm saying. It seems over here he understands, I'm reading this lines in between the lines, reading a lot into it, that it's not per se that the Shady is doing an Isser, he's a Goslin or a Mazik or something, but it's that the Rishon has the right to close the other one down. But then if you want to do that, you have to then make him whole, as you say, compensate him for that, take it over. You certainly can't break the lease and the landlord has to suffer. It's not the landlord's fault. The landlord comes to Bezdin and says, listen, I have a lease. I lent it out. I didn't do anything wrong. So he has to get paid. And Shimon says, I didn't really do any isser. Ruvi wants to assert, so let him absorb it. And that's what Ravaisha is paskening. I'm just noting it is a chiddush, and maybe it even shows a different understanding, as we're saying, might be the Gemara's words are telling us that it's not that the Chum said that Sheni is a Gazlan. They're saying that the Rishon has a right to assert first rights, but it's a prerogative. What happens if the first one doesn't say anything? You have a Rechayim there, and then I open my Rechayim, and you're a Yidat Tzadik. You don't say nothing. Am I a Gazlan? Or is it your right if you want to assert, and if you don't want to write assert, then there's nothing wrong? Maybe that's the way we have to understand the sugya based on these couple lines in the middle of a tshuva.
How long do you have to complain? Can you complain a year after the guy opened?
Wouldn't sound right. Dina hu d'ma'akev alei is when you're coming to open up. I don't know whether the first week or the first month, but there's a certain point that you've already allowed him to be here, and there's a mechila. Now,
On the tzad that it's just him being, he's not doing anything wrong, and it's just if you're makbid on him, then maybe you don't think it's going to have such an impact on you now, but you'll find out down the road that it really did, and then you're getting killed.
Well, you could make a machal like that mechila. You could say, my dear friend, you should know I'm the first bookstore here. Now, I'm willing to see how it's going to go, but if in the next 6 or whatever months I'm going to see that my store is empty, I can't pay my bills, I'm going to really have to ask you to close down. So if I told you that from the very beginning, that I could maybe reserve that right. But if not, it will probably be a mechila. We haven't gone into it, but in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel or so, Kuf Nun Dal, those two simanim, there's a number of issues about Cheskas Tashmishim. When one person makes use of someone else's two adjoining properties, and you have a wall, and I now put some supports onto that wall of something I want to build, or dumping my water off of my roof that goes and falling onto your adjoining property kind of issues. In this case, Shechenim, between neighbors, that when I'm mishtamish with your things, in most cases we say that I have to be makbid on it meicha right away. Otherwise, I'm show mechila. There's only a few cases of extreme cases that you could say that I thought I could tolerate, but I see it's intolerable when something is. A terrible smell, or smoking me out and making my place unlivable. So I thought I could, but it's really just unlivable. Because there, it's on an objective basis unlivable. I don't know. I don't know how to draw the parallel exactly. I haven't seen anything on the subject over here. This would bring up new issues that I haven't seen. Okay, that's just a note by the side. I don't want to spend the whole shiur on that. That's not really our subject, but it's an important thing to just at least take note of. Yet. The first one has been here for 10 years already.
I'm sorry, the second one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're being mechanish over here. It's not that Shani per se is doing an isser, but it's that the region has the right, the prerogative of asserting his first rights and stopping the second one. Now, obviously, from a business angle, you better find out before you do it, because otherwise you might, you know, do all that preparatory work, and then the first day the guy's going to say, sorry, close up. So you better do your homework beforehand.
I care you do it secretly, because if the guy's going to have to pay you and you already have signed a 20-year lease, you stop the guy from doing it.
See, that's another good question. This guy over here, okay, it's a year, and it's $75 a month. Okay, fine. You know, that wasn't that cheap in those days. I have to tell you, when I first got married, I used to live on $175 a month. Was my rent. You can't get too much of a hot apartment these days. So it was different. He's writing this back in the early 60s. It was even less than. But the going rates at that point. So that was a reasonable kind of a thing. But what happens if I DACA now make it to be a 20-year lease or whatever it might be, in order to be able to make it unreasonable for you to close me down? maybe even with some kind of exorbitant, whatever other kind of conditions you have in there. So then it's going to be more and more obvious that that wasn't done on an arm's length kind of normal business action. That was done to be able to usurp the other person's rights, which we won't tolerate. This was done innocently. Most startup don't want to make long-term kind of commitments because, you know, not every startup is successful. So all of a sudden making a 20-year lease at a high rate or whatever kind of... It's going to become obvious to Beis Din that you're doing that in order to circumvent the halacha that allows me to close you down. Okay, I'd kind of for that, I want to go back to the main point. The main point is he's been mechadish and saying that even though two people live in the same town, we've already learned that it's an open market, and even in the same mavoi, you know, if you live in a different mavoi, you're allowed to live and do in the same mavoi. Over here, we don't have mavois nowadays. It's a neighborhood or an area of doing business, then it should be open for all. But in a case that we see that there's not enough sustainable business here to support two establishments, then the first one has the right to prevent the second one from coming. That's a chiddush that he's saying, working up now backwards from Ramosha back to the Mekoros and the Paiskim. Want to clarify that too. Now, the last 3 weeks, by the way, as you know, we've been dealing with the Zchuyos Yetzer, with the copyright patent kind of issues. Before that, we were dealing with the Rasugim Babas in regard to the competition issues. And that's what I want to get back to right now to clarify that before we take our Lev L'Achim break. And then next, after we lap, we now we take a start a new unit. Okay, so... as you remember, in the Sugyim Bovasa, right now, just a quick recap, Rafun in the beginning of the Sugya said, Chafalafon Beis, that high bar before that has a Rechaimah, now the Chavri wants to make another Rechaimah, but also the din is that the first one can be Makkah, the second one. The Gemara came out that there's Machlokes Tanoim on the subject, and Pasha is the way we learned it, is that we don't pass like Rafun up, rather that he's only going like one time Rishon Gamliel rather than the Chavim. At the bottom of the sugya, the Gemara brought down Rav Huna ben Yeshua, a different Amira, a different of Rav Huna ben Yeshua, that said that pshitali that a like ben Mavli is allowed to open up another Rechaim next to my first one. A person from another part of the city to open up over here. My Mavli is a shy which we pass on Kula, and from another city, if someone wants to come over here, is when they can't do it. So Beis Yosef brings down Avi Yosef. Mordechai Vashem, the Sefer called Avi Yosef. It's one of the Rishonim goes from the Rav Yah, from the Rav Von. These are part of the Bali Atosfus that come down through the Mordechai to the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. And the Avi Yosef has a chiddush and says like this: even though we might not pass like Rav Huna, that a bar mavoi, we're going to say, cannot stop another bar mavoi. But he has a case like this. Mavoi sasa mishloshet stadim. If you have a non-through street that has one side as the opening to the main thoroughfare. Rak besido echad yukon to lo. Vodar Ruvain eitzel sofo hasasam. And Ruvain, the first guy that has the rechayim, let's say, is all the way deep inside this cul-de-sac or chutzir or whatever, the Bavi Shedim of Foolish. And that's where he has his Rechaim store. Ubashim and Loder Kenegat Atzad. And then Shimon has a Dira all the way at the other end, right near the opening to the Rishos Rabim. And now he's going to open his Rechaim over there. Or actually, in his case, we weren't talking about Rechaim, we're talking about a money lending business. Attracting goyim to come in over here and borrow with interest. So you have a mortgage company, whatever you want, a lending company. She'ena goy yochel leilech im lo yelech tchilof nei pesach shimain. So he's going to have first exposure to all business coming down the street. They're going to come across Shimon with his nice, beautiful sign in front of his house before they ever get anywhere near Ruvin's all the way deep in there. Near the yochel akib alav kid Rav Huna, Avi Yosef. Chen kasev al goz maimini. Period. So the Avi Yosef that the Mordechai brings down, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says that in this case, you could be ma'akev, because you're going to now have like an unfair advantage, he seems to be saying. Anyone that's going to come has to come to the second one rather than the first one. And therefore, we're going to paskin that the first could, in that case, could stop the second one. Kidder of Huna. And that's where the confusion comes in. Is he saying, even though we don't pass like Rav Huna, this case is worse, and therefore this case we will pass them like that halacha? Or is he saying, I hold it's usher because we hold like Rav Huna. And if you don't hold like Rav Huna, then it wouldn't be usher, it's just another case. So then there would be really no point of having this whole illustration about the two different ends of the street. The way the Beis Yosef understood it, this underlying that continues in the paragraph is now the words of the Beis Yosef's comment. Beis Yosef says, V'nira, Davi Yosef Sover, the Loker of Rabbi Yeshua, not like that latter Amira that argues, but rather he passed on like Rav Huna. And this is another application in his case of the dinner of Huna. V'im Kenle Didon de Kaimalonka Rav Huna, but Rabbi Yeshua, we pass like the second number, not like the first. L'matim Akev Olei. And therefore, the Beis Yosef says, the halacha of this is not going to hold. And even when you're going to have an extra advantage of being in a better position, location, it's fair to open up another business, another modern lending business, or Rechayim, or a Hebrew bookstore, or whatever it might be. You're allowed to open up, even though now you're going to have a more advantageous location. That's the way the Beis Yosef takes it. Because of the end of the words of Yosef, it says, Kid Rav Huna, like Rav Huna, so he's based himself on Rav Huna, we don't pass like Rav Huna, so we don't pass like Av Yosef. And at the end of the piece of the Beis Yosef, I skipped a little bit, but when we get to this, he says, Nimzo Psachim Shal Dvarim. He now sums up everything from the Sibma beforehand. I skipped the other discussions. He says, when he gets to this point, he says, Mav Yishay Nechlasam Boel Mitzad Echad, Rav Zezeh, Lodur Kenega Tzad She'ein Ago, Yachol Leilach Labais Ruvay, Nimlo Yelo Tchil Lefnei Pischai. You want to set yourself up and say a place that no one could access. There's other guy, the first one, unless they first go by Vayin. Lo Motz Ma'agulav, it's okay to do. So that's how the Beis Yosef says that even though there's going to be an advantage or a greater advantage for the second one, it's still mutter. And the Pesach Tshuva brings down from some Achrayim, the Beis Shmuel Achra is less familiar, the Beis Ephraim is the Ephraim Zalman Margolius, much more familiar, one of the Achrayim. That deals with a similar case. He's dealing with inns, motels, hotel types of hospitality business. That there's a number of them in some location, that someone gets a piece of land that's mamish in a super prime location in the center of town or by the entrance into the town or right by whatever, a much more preferred location. And they paskel the halacha that we don't hold like the Av Yosef, even though you're going to have a more advantageous location, it's still mutter. Ve'ein bali chanuyos hayishonos yichom la'akev ala chadoshim. The first guys cannot stop the new guy that wants to get this better place. Haboyim livnos m'mokam muvchar yoyser kashari yir. Because of Beis Ephraim, the Beis Ephraim records, shekein am adabar, that is the minig ha'olam. That's how the am, the people, adabar, are noyeg. And it's unheard of to stop. A person can always look for a better place, the best place, the location to seek out, do your, demographical studies and figure where the best location would have whatever particular business is. And then you can, the other one can say, "Hey, now you're going to be better off than me. You should have done your homework before you die, just like I did." And you're always allowed to get to it. That's business. So this Beis Shmuel and Beis Ephraim are passing like the Beis Yosef, all the bases together. And they're passing not like the Av Yosef. Yet, and here's where we're going to get now the basis for Rav Moshe's Psak. The Chassam Sefer, and even preceding him, the earlier, the Masas B'Yom is going to come at the end. Masas B'Yom is earlier. We're going backwards today. The Masav Yom is the Talmud of the Marashal, which puts him in mid-1500s. Chassam Sofer is in mid-1800s. The Chassam Sofer writes a tshuva, and the tshuva is very interesting. A lot of flavor, a lot of feeling of what's going on in those days, and feeling of a Gadol Dor responding. They're dealing with kashrus. We're dealing with a Rav that gives a hashgacha of kashrus. And his hashgacha over there was on the production of kosher Pesach sugar. There was some kind of a production factory, whatever it might be. And they figured out a process, and they have a hashgacha over it. And that's his parnasa. This rav is his hashgacha is his parnasa. As many rabbanim have had their parnasa from hashgacha of kashrus. So another rav comes to offer his hashgacha instead. My diamond K, or my triangle K, or my square K, or whatever other kind of K I want to make instead of the star K. And he says, how about doing my hashgacha? And maybe a little bit would be a little more lenient you, and it costs you a little bit less dollars. So whatever the attraction was, and he got someone else to start lobbying for him also, another rav to go speak to the sugar producer and to move the hashgacha to the second one. And soon the hashgacha this year, instead of being the hashgacha rishayin, is going to now be the hashgacha shniyah. And they come to complain to the Chasam Sofer. But they don't complain, unfortunately, together. As the Din Torah always requires that you have Shmoa ben Achechem, Shvatim, and Tzedek, but Din Tzedek always has to hear from two sides of the party. Over here, only one side came and presented itself. And that's a, right, not acceptable. So the sheaf of that page is over there. Yeah. So the Chasam Sofer picks up on that and he says, I can't pass to the Shaila. I can't even respond to the Shaila because you're going to need to see my opinion and use it for a psak. Like, it's not a valid psak. And I don't even believe it. It's Lashon Hara. A rav is going to take away a business for another rav. That's not what Rabbanim do. Tamid HaChom are supposed to make shalom. We're supposed to be mechaber each other. I don't even believe such a thing could even happen. Someone's just telling me a Baba Maisa. Right? I'll tell you a Shtikl Terah anyway because I'm learning the Sugya. If you want to ask me a Shaila, I'll tell you a Shtikl Terah. But I don't even want to believe such a thing could even happen. In the meantime, while he's saying that, he throws in the Musar to be able to give the message that just in case there is any truth to the story, which of course there was, they get the message that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara in Makkos like that also. Listen to this, he brings down a Tshuva Marshal that brings down a Tshuva from the Rokeh, from the Baal Yotayzah, from the Baal Rishenim, that says like this, strong words. Havi Zoyher, Lo Sasek Vul Reyacha. Be careful always to avoid taking away encroaching on someone else's business rights. Lo Tikach Mechiaso, and don't take away his livelihood. Mukana Schaira, Umatbeya, Bin Ashiltain, Beyav Achar, Beyosuk, Elikach, Gaverai. Zelonditin Limchol. If a person bought some kind of license rights from the government, then don't try to now buy it out from under him and have the business for you instead of for him. Zelonditin Limchol, there's no Mechil on such a thing. Venikra Rasha, the Ain Gazlan Kamaisai. How about that? There's no Gazlan like him. He's the worst Gazlan of the whole pack of Gazlanim. Vimlo Yishma, we call Oreo Yeshlavdila, no Sajia Yisakanam. So you can put a harem on him. So therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, this is Mamash Bin Achamurais. You expect me to believe that a Rav and a Dayan are going to do such an Av like that? It's it can't be. And maybe technically it doesn't fit into the rules of Ani Mahabe Harara, but so what? He quotes an interesting Tosin in Babash that says that Akupadim Adam Chashuv Avid Lufnim Mishur Zadin Afil Hecha Delo Shayach Mahabe Harara. And a Rav, a Dayan, supposed to be a Talmud Chacham, is going to also be known like a Rav, like he's going to do Mamash and Aval. He's supposed to do Lufnim Mishur Zadin. I don't even want to believe such a story. But anyway, I'll tell you about the sugya. That's the way he deals with it. And the end of the tshuva, he gets back to him. But this, I'm not going to end up and saying, you know, applying it into the... I don't even believe the instant case, and I still don't want you to take my words of being upset on it. Just his reaction to it is just there's so much to learn from it. But now he speaks, I skip a lot of the other pilpa that he has in between. And the point that's relevant to us, he says, he accepts the Avi Yosef. And even if this is an exactly Avi Yosef case, he brings out the point that we have to bring out. But Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Avi Yosef says that Avogad lo kaim lankar of Huna, so he's learning different than the Beis Yosef, that even though we don't pass lankar of Huna himself, then there's a distinction of when. Haina b'mavim furish, that's only by a through street. So you live on the east side, people from the east could come to you first. You live on the west side, the people from the west side come to you first. So there's no one that has more advantage over the other one. Shiacholim hakayim lavoy mitzad acher. Ava b'mavi sasa, when there's only one entryway and everyone has to come from that way rather than the other one, everyone's going to give an unfair advantage. Then kofet that you're able to stop him, even though we don't pass the grafuna. That's how he's learning it. Nira came in Pirush Rashi. Interesting diak, he says, in the Gemara over there in Babasra, I can find a diak in Rashi to support that. Because when the Gemara says that we can't prove like Rav Huna, because for the case of the fishermen, that other fishermen can't go encroach on his catch, Rashi says, the Gemara says, let's bring a ride to Rav Huna from there. The Gemara says, no, that's different because he's already done all the prep work of bringing out the fish and ready to catch it. So in that, Rashi says, Gabi Gabi Saira, that's because he already did all that tircha and mice beforehand. So it's like he already has it and you can't take away from him. I will hacha, but in the case of Rav Huna, when we don't pass him, is why? Because Misha ba etzlecha yikneh, when Misha ba etzli yikneh, wherever it's open either way. Some people go to you, some people go to me. There's nothing more to commit one way or the other. Mashma, that's only when there's an even balance between the two. Mashma lehecha she'ena boim klal. If you're going to now have such an advantage, and now he gives a definition, what does advantage mean? It's going to be such an advantage that it's going to make the second one usurp all the business and put the first guy out of business. When it's going to go to that extreme of closing the first guy down, heichi she'enam boyim klal, uposich yusli legamre, it's not such that you'll do your business, I'll do my business. Whoever comes to you will come to you. Whoever comes to me will come to me. That's okay. But if I'm going to now put you out of business, it's only going to be either one or the other, and since I'm going to be in a better position, I'm going to now take it all, and you're going to be out in the cold, then kofet, then about we're going to stop the second guy, you can't go and do that. Drabhuna makshav, gamzel epezach yusei, and the machlekes between them is, but I'm not going to put you out of business entirely, it's just that whoever's going to go to you, come to me, so then it's going to diminish your business, but not going to be eliminate your business. That's where Rav Huna alone was machbir, and we don't pass like him. Let's help us. Do lo have a piece of chiyusei? Because in his case, it's not cutting the first guy off. El chushas chiyusei. It's going to diminish. It's going to make him to work harder under competition. That's okay. That we don't pass like Rav Huna. That's not usher. But darei evjeshivo gam es lo litchon. You have to just now make your place attractive. You know, get a finer ambiance, play music, you know, give out candies, you know, be more friendly, do more advertising. You know, hustle, do something more to get the customers over there. That's okay. But when you're going to completely now take the whole thing away and leave the other person with nothing, was that kaifin, then avada is when we're going to say it's usher. So here the Chassam Sefer establishes that even though we don't pass like Rav Huna about two people in the same town not being able to do the same business, and even if we don't paskin like the Aviyasa per se by the case of a better position, that's only going to depend on if there's still going to be room for both people to do business. But when it's going to be one or the other, and because of your advantage, you're going to now put the first guy out of business. That is that's a pasuk l'chiyusei according to everyone. In other words, in principle, Rav Huna says it's also because the kapaskas l'chiyusei, you're cutting off his livelihood. When that's really true to the fullest degree, then that's unarguable according to everyone. That's got to be usher. Rav Huna wanted to apply that even in the case when they're still going to be both in business and competing, that we don't possibly like. But when it's going to tackle put the first guy out of business, then Rav Huna, then everyone agrees in principle there's such a concept of Yorud Umnus Gavero, Aishas Re'eo Timei, Paskas L'chiusei, the concept itself will certainly have to apply somewhere. In the next piece, the next paragraph, the Chassam Sefer, another tshuva says, repeated that same concept, and there he brings an earlier Makor. Umutsasi Li Rebbe, I found a Makor from an earlier Pesek, in the Knesset HaGedola, which goes back post Beis Yosef days, that says when both people are going to be able to remain in business and whoever gets. But we don't want to put you out completely for business, that you certainly can't do. So here the Ksam Sofer builds the case to say that the machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Huna Yeshua is only whether Paschas Lechiusi applies in a case where both are going to be affected but are going to still be effective. They're going to be diminished, but they're going to still be existent. But when the second one is going to totally usurp the business and the first one's going to be out, that is for sure Paschas Lechiusi. And in principle, that's a rule that everyone's going to accept. And therefore, in such a case where the Bezin would see that that's the case, there's no question that the first could stop the second from doing so.
Could Rosh Hashanah be like some sort of compromise between the Slavokas, between some
why do you have to come on to compromise? Ramesh is saying that in this particular town, whatever it is, it's established. Well, the first point he makes, that once I establish over here, there's no room in this small town to be able to support two Hebrew bookstores. There's just not enough business.
Right.
So it's going to be one or the other. We're not going to both survive. So if the second one doesn't bother, then the first one's going to survive. The second one's going to, but there, in as much as the second one's going to be successful, the first one's going to be out of business. So therefore he says it's usher. So now if we want to know where he get it from, he doesn't say so in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf and Vav. It doesn't say so beferish in the Gemara. But the Chassam Sofer is saying it does say so in the Gemara, because the Gemara does introduce the concept of Paschas Lechiusei. It's saying the Machlekes in the Amoraim is only the application, how far that goes. But when it's at some point, when you're going to totally put the other person out, there's undeniably a Paschas Lechiusei, you're totally cutting off my livelihood, then there's nothing more to talk about.
What about the second paragraph?
The second paragraph is a chiddush that he's saying that the first guy now has to take on the losses of the second one.
I'm suggesting it's maybe it's based on the machlokes, because the other person has about time that they do a lot of horn
and mahol. The Chassam Sofer is saying that in this case, kuli alma mighty. Right. In case that you put him out of business, then there's no question. That's usher. The holidays. Regardless of the aviyasov. Even the aviyasov, you could say, okay, you're going to have a better place than me, but we'll still be in business.
I thought you see your home, they can't go by.
You can't.
You'll see him.
Right. That sounds like
whether the Avi Yosef's case is going to put the guy deeper into the movie, totally out of business or not, is a judgment call. I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But in a case that is going to definitely put him out of business, the Chassam Sofer says, that's pshita, l'chuliyama tzasser. Right. And that's what Rav Moshe's case is with the Hebrew bookstores. When you can't have two, then one of us is going to have to sink. We're not going to both have to remain afloat. So then he's saying it's minadin. I don't see pshars over here. He's saying a halacha de hagdara. But again, I don't want to dwell more on that second paragraph. It's a tzarachian.
It's a big city that can support somebody. So
you could have two. Normally the case that Rav Huna is.
But what about somebody coming from the outside?
That's a different story. We have a right. We have a right. The local merchants have a right to be able to have their local business. That's a tekana min rabbana. It's not mikra din. This tekana is that we're allowed to have local business for local people. But local people are allowed to compete with each other. But not when it's going to put the first guy out.
How do we apply the standard of putting him out of business?
Okay.
In other words, the new guy who's opening says, what do you mean put him out of business? Before he's making $1 million a year. Now he's making $500,000.
That's fine.
And he says he's closing because it's not worth a bit.
Why not? It's still profitable. Uh-huh. You know, of course, everyone would like to make more. But it's still a profitable business. That's a question of assessing whether it could or whether it can't. That's a business judgment. But, you know, in a case that there's not enough business to go around to two, then one's going to have to go under. He's not going to maybe have to make ends meet. If it's going to be chushas lechiyuse, but not paskas lechiyuse, using the word some surface words, yes, it's going to diminish it from the lot to less. But it's still, you know, running in the black. When it runs in the red, you know, you can't keep on running at a loss. And the other one that's very very clear on this point is the Masses B'Yamin. Just put this on the record, nearly. By the Rechayim, that the both of them are going to be able to do the business. Third line, where the other lines are, it's going to detract, it's going to take away from the first one. He's not going to be making as much as he was when he was only show in town. then he was making much more. He doesn't necessarily have the right to be the only show in town. There's no rules of being able to be a monopoly. But when you want to completely put him out of business, as in a number of cases that he was dealing with, that everyone agrees, the concept of being putting someone out of business, is undisputed. So this is clearly the background for the Psaker of Moshe, even though he doesn't go into the Marma Kemes. So I understand the first part of Ramesha very clearly, how he applies that. And then, in individual cases that come up, one has to make a clear judgment and research and an assessment about whether this community, Baruch Shem communities, are growing and now we could support 2 and 3 and 4 of the same Hebrew bookstores or pizza shops or whatever. But when you can't, or when there's going to be such a thing that's going to put the first guy out of business completely, then we have over here, Ramesh is based on these earlier Paiskim with very clear basis. I just want to conclude this unit completely with the words of Aruch HaShulchan, a little bit scary, that he says, Klal HaShadavar, after he goes through the whole long Zilkuf Nomva with all the details of Yerudim Nuschaverei, Kol Ish Yisrael, every Yiddish Mensch, every Erlich Yid, Tzarech Lizarei Shul B'Labal HaHasek Gvul Re'eyu Abba Davar Kal, has to be careful never to step on someone else's toes in terms of business taking away from it. Even when it's a slight infraction. But Masik Vulo Yirabatevolo Ohu Ozaro, Juan Slot is going to affect either him or his children adversely. Hashem Yishmarinu. Vasoyer Baba, of course, Mita Tova Maruba. On the positive side, person is careful to always respect another person's established business, not to detract from it. Zeicheli Atzmalu Ula Zaroi. He'll be avenged himself and his generations with atzlacha and bracha to the gods of Mishpacha. Okay, so next week we're going to be having a Lev L'Achim replacement for this year. And then the following week we will start a new unit, possibly the lachas of Onoah, proper charging in business and paying.